blessing to be back in the house of the Lord. A blessing to praise His name.
Amen.
Now, I guess the more we go along and think of Jesus Christ, the differently we see things. This lady I've been talking about, her daughter called me the other day, and they want you to pray with me, talk about Mama. You know, I thought, I said, well, if you're crying and I'm crying, we both are yielding to the wrong spirit. Turn to Jesus Christ and rejoice that you know you got a Savior. And after I talked to her for a few minutes, she was laughing and talking like a mama wasn't sick at all. Because the Spirit of God is what we're looking for and what we're true for when... In Isaiah, when it says, when the devil comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard.
Right.
That standard that He's raising up is the Word of God to fight for us. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to read this morning from Psalm 27.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful and thankful unto You for all things. Lord, help us and give us strength, Lord, that we would yield ourselves enough to You, that You would fight our battles for us. Lord, that when we are weak, Lord, You are strong. Lord, let us always remember. Father, we thank You and we ask You as we come together this day, as we read and hear Your words, Lord, that they will become a part of our life. Yes. Jesus, and we thank You for all that You have done for us and all that You are doing. Father, we love You. In our ways, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to
though an host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident.
One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the Lord's
for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock.
And thou shalt my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me.
When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek.
Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Though thou hast been my help, leave me not. Neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation.
When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, and hear me in a plain path, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies.
Deliver me now, Lord, unto the Lord of my enemies, for all witnesses are risen up against me, such as
I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Testimony one time
It was about an orphan. A lady was given up at birth, and as she became older, her life was in shambles. She got on drugs, and she just was depressed. And someone gave her a tract one time with that scripture on it. And when she read verse 10, where it says, "My mother and father has forsaken me, the Lord will take me up," that was it. She found her true parent, and she gave her heart to Christ, and it changed her. So God has an answer in His Word for every situation in our life. He just wants us to seek Him with all of our heart. Amen. Let's sing this song, "Word of God, Ever True." I believe we have a baby dedication this morning, so we're going to cut it short a little bit. And on this song, we're going to ask Brother Wade if he'll come out after we get finished with this. Let's all stand. Word of God, ever true, changing me, changing you, we have come.
It's a dedication.
Amen.
So we want the family to come forth and just.
Everybody come up front.
Parents,
grandparents.
Yeah, mamas and daddies, mamas, daddies. And everybody that can be up here. Get up here.
Come on. Y'all gather around over here so Anderson can get some pictures.
We have a special way of dedicating a baby around here. We kind of do it a little bit strange, I guess. What we do is we dedicate each other.
That's right.
We dedicate our families. We dedicate everybody in the building.
Amen.
For the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That, then when you go home, you remember you dedicated the baby.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you dedicating the baby, then the baby's dedicated.
Amen.
Good to see you, everybody.
Hey.
So my name is Jacob Weston DeLong.
Yeah.
Man, look at this.
Let's pray. Father,
dear Lord Jesus,
we thank you for an opportunity to dedicate this baby to thee. Lord, we dedicate ourselves that we may be, Lord, a Christian to walk in front of this child, that it want to see Jesus.
you'll bless the family.
Lord, we commit it to you now.
Father, give us.
We ask you to dedicate it. We ask you to raise it. We give it back to you. Because we give it in honor of your Lord, your name.
Yes,
in Jesus is your name.
Amen. Let's sing Bring Them In as we all go back to take the offering up while we're standing. While y'all standing up, we need to collect your money today. So, well, we've had a baby dedication and we've had all this going on. So, Brother Joe, if you'll just bless this, and we'll have a.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen. In this church, you never know who's going to take up the offering. You never have a clue. Brother Dale's done it before a couple of times. I've done it a few times. Luis has asked me to do it. So I think we're done. No specials. We're going to start the sex service now. So good to have everybody here with us today. God bless you. Got a full house. If my sister and her crowd were here, it'd be a fuller house. And then we got visitors with us today, and Jacob's not a visitor, but we have a brother coming in right now that's a visitor, and there was supposed to be some. Oh, hey, brother. How are you? Good to see you. Amen. There was supposed to have been a sister from that moved here from Jamaica today. I don't see her here, but she called me on the phone the other day. So, all right, let's get started because I got a few announcements to make. November the 10th, which is this coming Wednesday night. If y'all would need to make a way for that brother to get in there with the baby. We good? Okay. November the 10th, which is this coming Wednesday night, Brother Marcus Becker from Germany will be with us. Good brother, man. Love to hear him preach. He's a real good brother. But he's coming by, so he's going to preach for us on Wednesday night. So just keep them in your prayers. Also, and I may not be here. I may be in Illinois, so we'll see how that works out. On November the 14th, which is next Sunday, we will have our church dinner. Only one service, meat and two vegetables. Bring plenty because we're going to have some visitors. We know for sure there's going to be 9 people extra coming from Ohio, and we're going to have them that weekend. They watch us online, and they're coming down to visit us. And then going on to Florida, and then they're coming back up. So let's remember that. So let's bring enough for everybody because we are growing and have grown. So make sure you don't bring just enough for you, little bowl, for you to eat. You need to bring enough so that we all can eat, especially glass casserole. That's the only reason they're coming. So it's because of squash casserole. Also, all right, November the 17th, Brother Aaron will be preaching for us. That will be next Wednesday night. All right. And also on November the 21st, which will be on a Sunday, I will be in Illinois. I'll be hunting that whole week right before Thanksgiving. But Brother Dutch Scott, going to be here and preach for y'all. Yep, Brother Dutch is a good brother. And we really enjoy his fellowship. Also, on November the 23rd, that'll be Tuesday, we will have a Tuesday service the week of Thanksgiving. We will not have a Wednesday night service. That will be the 23rd, and Brother Bob Black will be preaching that Tuesday night. November 24th, we will not have a service. just keep those in your prayers. Also, keep Brother Luis in prayer. He's in Jacksonville today, but he will be leaving with his family on the 29th or 30th to go into the Honduras, or just say South America, for about 6 weeks. So let's keep him in Central America, closer to South America. So anyway, Central America. He will be in Nicaragua and different places like that. All right, so just keep those in your prayer. Brother, remember Richard Roberts, he's not here. The family's not here because he's not feeling well. And then we had a wonderful time at Bible study last night. The room was packed full of people. And we had a real good time in the Lord. We had some real good discussion in the Bible study. Wish y'all could all be there. It helped me a lot more on Sunday morning because we talked about a lot of what we're going to talk about today some last night. So it always happens that way. And also we will be having communion this afternoon after the second service, communion and foot washing after the second service. So we're getting back to where, to some sort of normalcy. So good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. So let's go ahead and turn to John 1:1, and we'll continue our thought. This would be part 7 on who is this Son of Man? Because we really have not, we've got him here on earth, but we got to, if the Son of Man is supposed to be the one that we characterize ourselves after, we need to know what he is, what he done, why he came, and why he's called the Son of Man, not the Son of God. All right? So let's go to John 1:1. Just keep all these in prayer. We'll announce them again on Wednesday and then on Sunday. So just don't forget squash casserole next Sunday. John 1:1. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Father, you truly have given the cream of the crop, Lord. This is your people, the greatest people to walk on the face of the earth. As we were talking last night, we truly are blessed to have the truth. Not a truth, not a part truth, not what we think is truth, but we have the truth. And you are the way, the truth, and the life. So we know that it's also, we need to understand who you were while you were down here on earth. The Son of Man. Lord, and we'll see that, Lord, that you were God made flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes. Lord, be with the people that are sick, Richard Roberts and different ones. They're not feeling well, Lord. We pray that you'd touch each one in our bodies. Lord, send your healing power, Lord. You said you sent your word and healed the people. So may we get a revelation that we're all healed today. Father, any ailment or whatever we have, sin sickness or anything else, Lord, we pray that you'd take care of that, Lord, as we speak the word in your name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. That's not three people. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, this person. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. We know that's John the Baptist. He was to introduce who? Not the Son of God. He was to introduce God in human flesh. And we see a repeat of that in the end time. God sent us a prophet. The third coming of Elijah was who? John the Baptist. Right? William Branham was the fourth coming of Elijah. The spirit of Elijah. And he introduced Jesus Christ to the world. And showing that Jesus is back in human flesh again. In his people, not in a body, a corporal body, because you can't have two bodies here at the same time on earth. We already went through that. All right, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. All right, separated. Remember, he was not the light. He wasn't the Son of Man. He was introducing the Son of Man. But was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, here we go. That's one characteristic. He was in the world didn't know who he was. All right? Same way it's going to be with me and you. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He came to the world. He came to the denominations. He came to whoever you want to say, and they turned him down. they received him not. I'm reading the Bible. But as many as received him, thank God.
Amen.
As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. Not the son of Samuel Peggy Dale. Not the son of wherever you come from. Flesh. But as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God. As he was talking last night, he told Nicodemus, he said, you've got to have a conversion from that birth to the new birth.
Yes.
Amen? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Yes.
And here's verse 14. And the Word, all this Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and the Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word. Just background, just a few minutes. We want to go to Hebrews 10, verse 1, and read, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing. Remember, everything that happened in the Old Testament was a shadow or a type of Christ coming on earth and having a group of people. And you and I, it's an example. Remember, the Bible says these things in the Old Testament were given to us for what? Example. To whom the end of the world has come upon. Well, guess what?
Amen.
The end of the world has come upon the people.
Right.
And we've got to look at the shadows and the types, because it was only a shadow, because it was speaking of what? Jesus Christ, the true Lamb of God. Yes. Not just a regular lamb that they put upon a pedestal and killed it and burned it. And God said, okay, that's fine, but I'm coming myself. Because
right.
Watch. For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comer there and do perfect. So there was no perfection in the Old Testament. It was only covering or capo. It pushed the sins to Calvary. It wouldn't let you become a Christian. Because you couldn't. Because you couldn't get born again. You couldn't get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was tied up in this man named Jehovah. All
right?
For then would they not have ceased to be offered. In other words, one time and it's done. No, they had to offer it every year. Because that the worshiper once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Every year. At any feast, wherever they were supposed to go to, Feast of Atonement, they knew everybody had to gather. They knew the priest had to take the blood off of the... They had to kill the red heifer. They had to put a lamb up for so many days. They had all these things they had to do, showing in type, though, that Jesus Christ was coming, but they couldn't take away your sin.
That's right.
They only covered it.
Right.
Okay? So now watch what is Paul saying here. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. All right? So it can't take it away. It only covers it. But what's he going to do? Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body.
Amen.
A human mortal body. The Word was made flesh.
Right.
But a body hast thou prepared me.
Right.
They fell in human flesh in the Garden of Eden. God had to come back in human flesh.
Amen.
To get us out of this. And we'll read it in just a few minutes. We'll read a quote. That's what God had to do. That's what He wanted to do.
Amen.
That was His master plan that we've been talking about for 40-something sermons on the eternal plan of redemption. That eternal plan of redemption hinged on God.
Yes.
Not a second person. He didn't send somebody.
Amen.
That would be awful. I did something, and I'm going to send Josh to take my place. No, I got to go do it myself.
Right.
I need to do, as they say in the world, cowboy up.
Right.
They fell in the garden. God said, I'll put enmity between you and the seed of the woman. In other words, I'm going to come back in literal human flesh to take away the sin of the world. So that's what John said, and we'll read it in just a few minutes. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. All
right?
But see, you and I, we're not looking at a second person of a Trinity. And we didn't receive the third person of the Trinity when we got the new birth. We received God, or he's not God. Amen? He's either God Almighty in human flesh, or he's an imposter. Amen? Because he said he was coming. He said he was going to be here. I am going to do this. Abraham, we were talking about Abraham's journey last night. You know, what about a man named Abram? He's just sitting around in a little city called Ur, and he's helping his daddy make idols. So they worship many gods. Right? He was an idol maker. His daddy was. So he obviously had to help his daddy, and it was a family business. But all of a sudden, he hears this voice one day, and I don't believe it was sounded like James Earl Jones. For those of you that don't know who that is, he talks real deep. You know, everybody thinks God talks real deep. Now the devil talks that way too. Hello, somebody. So your God talks to you different than the devil does. Sometimes you can't tell the difference. Hello? You just got to check it by the Word of God. You check it by the Word of God, and you keep taking it to the Word of God, because Satan cannot stand the Word of God. But now he only added, when he came to Eve, he only added one word. He quoted what God said. You eat of this tree, thou shalt surely die. All Satan said was not. Thou shalt not surely die. He quoted him 99% of the sermon and made one word off. Threw everything into chaos. So we were saying last night in the Bible study that I just believe that are dumb enough to believe that God's eternal, God's perfect. He had to have a perfect people so he could come back into those people in the end time with a perfection of the Word of God outside of anything else that anybody else has. Any other idea or thought, he sent a message to me and you. Amen? God sent the message to me and you.
Yes.
Now what are you going to do about it?
Right.
Amen? You're going to take it and say, well, it's just part of Christianity. No. Come on, folks. That's not Christianity out there.
Right.
They're trying their best. They're doing the best they can. But they're not living listen, like I said last night, we're the only people that do things halfway correct, even though we are a little bit off and wrong in our humanity. We baptize right. That's the whole thing. Last night we were talking about, listen, there's 7 billion people in this world. Let's just say 3 billion or 4 billion are Christians and not Buddhist or Hindu or whatever that other is, because they don't baptize. Right? But you take all the other Christendom, Roman Catholic, and just name them all. They all have one thing in common. They baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says the whole world is deceived by that. They're deceived by that beast. And that beast is what? Rome. And their Rome, the whole thing is Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They deny the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody does, except just a small few people. Thank God we're part of that small few people. That's doing it right. I do it because Brother Branham says. Come on, people. We got to get out of that. I do it because Brother Branham says. No, I do it because that's what the Bible says. I don't curse. That's because, you know what? The one that curses God left me. And the Holy Ghost is there where it used to be. Amen? Same way with all of us. If you're born again, are in your journey. So let's read number one in the masterpiece. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Amen. And then come finally the great head, the head of it all. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. We're going to talk about the headstone, because look, the headstone is not the Son of God. The headstone's the Son of Man. God in human flesh. He was the head of this new race. We're going to read it later on. He was the beginning of the creation of God. That's what God wanted in the beginning, is to walk in human flesh with his children, with his family, on a perfect earth. You say, how do you know that, Brother Wade? Because that's what was there
before the fall. And that's what's going to be after everything's restored. God's going to walk in human flesh with his children on a perfect earth. And thank God for the future home where Brother Brown says, God's not going to annihilate this earth. He created it for people to live on. His people. These other people are just squatters. What? They're not part of the inheritance. You and I are part of the inheritance if we're the children of God. And then come finally the great head, the head of all of it. What? If you look that word up, that's the number one. That's like a father of the head of a family. He's the one that's the head and everything else is below it. Same way with me and you. He's our head. We're the body. Right? The head of it all. The rest of the body just spoke of it. The foundation was laid by the patriarchs. Now see, in the Old Testament, but the body was built by the word, which was the prophets. And here comes the head of it all. Jesus came on the scene. So in other words, as we were talking, the body was built by the Old Testament prophecies. As we read in Isaiah 7 verse 13, it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive. All right. That's how God it started. That's how little. That's how it got started. A virgin shall conceive. Nothing ever happened before. Isaiah walks out and says, hey, a virgin shall conceive. Goes back home and his wife says, how? How? That's never happened before. He said, I don't know. Said, I just said what God said. Isn't that what a prophet does? He says what God said. God told him to say it. And you know what he thought? Looked at his wife and probably said, and it will come to pass. It might have took 6,000 years, 4,000 years after Isaiah. It doesn't matter. He spoke it. And that's what Gabriel built his whole, when he comes to Mary, he built everything on that right there. Listen, if Jesus Christ could resurrect on the prophecy of, Brother Branham said, a backslid prophet, David, said, I'll not leave my soul in hell or suffer my Holy One to see corruption. He said, Jesus went down to the grave believing that scripture. So that's how the body was built. Jesus steps out on those Old Testament prophets because what does he keep doing? Listen, he doesn't have a Paul and Irenaeus. He doesn't have these people to talk about. When Jesus walked on the earth, he was in the Old Testament. He talked about Moses. He talked about Abraham. He talked about Isaac. He talked about Elijah, right? Because that's all he had to work with. But he came exactly the way the Old Testament prophet said he would come. Didn't miss it by one scripture. And they turned him down. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. So there you go. There's going to be a baby born. A child is born. So he's going to come through the womb of a woman. He's not going to be just like boom and there he is.
That's right.
He's not going to be Adam like Adam was created a grown man. No, because you weren't created a grown man.
Right.
You came as a baby.
That's right.
So Jesus had to come as a baby to be our kinsman.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
I know this is elementary, but you know what? Pretty good to me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Now, I could see Caiaphas and some of those high priests reading this scripture, because they do read this scripture.
Amen.
They read the Bible. They have the Old Testament scrolls. They read this scripture and they're going, man, when the Messiah gets here, he's going to come right into this temple. And he's going to say, oh, great Caiaphas, here I am. Because he's going to have a government. He's going to bring peace because remember, Jesus was born under the rule of Rome that was Roman, that was ruling the Jews in Jerusalem. They weren't free people. They were almost slaves. Right? So Caiaphas and all them are going like, man, you know, and even they're going to say, even John the Baptist said, oh, he'll make the high places low and the low places high. He's going to take the curves in the road and he's going to pull them straight. Boy, when he gets here, well, he got there. And he came the way the Bible said. But he didn't come the way they thought he should come. That's the same way with me and you, folks. If we're to live the life of the Son of Man, it's got to make you different than the rest of the world. Like what Bob was talking about this morning and what we were talking about last night. This message of the hour will separate you if you live it. Now, see, you can live a denominational life, and you can still smoke, drink, cuss, and do what you've been doing. Now, I know that because I've been around them people. What do they get saved from? I was just with one the other day, and he's like, I don't see anything wrong with having a little drink. I said, you're a Baptist. Yeah, but I just don't see anything. There's nothing really that tells me I can't do that. And I started to say, but I've got a little bit better than I used to. I should have said, your pastor should have told you that. Because it's in the Bible, it says that this is the temple of the Holy Ghost, for you not to put anything in it that you can't use. But I didn't, I just kind of, he said, I don't know how you see it. He said, but that's the way I see it. I said, okay, you're fine. You, whatever you want. How are you going to change their mind? Because they're told when they go to church, they can go in, go drive down the road. They're walking in church with shorts on. Baseball hats. Carrying their Starbucks coffee. Now is that God? No, but you can't tell them that because they go to church. But now listen, like we were talking about last night. Are we though so blinded that we can be sitting in this church and have a laundry list of what we do and what we don't do, and that's your salvation? No. Somewhere, you look at all the people that are leaving the message, somewhere there's a crack in that foundation. And you start building something on top of it, it will fall. But if you've got the new birth, we were talking about last night, the difference in the new birth and the Holy Ghost, because there is a difference. You can be anointed with the Holy Ghost, and I didn't read it last night, but remember, Joel promised. Joel 2 said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So everybody's anointed. Brother Brown said, you can't tell that woman not to wear a pair of shorts, because why? She's anointed. She's anointed with something false, but she's anointed. And you can have the Holy Spirit on your spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell. You can be just as black inside your soul as Satan is. That's the anointing, the anointed ones. That's the anointing. It's a true anointing of God we were talking about last night. But listen, that's the difference in the Holy Ghost. You can have the Holy Ghost every day of your life and die and go to hell. But you can't have the new birth. You can't have that new birth down in your soul and die and go to hell. I promise you that. You've already been to hell because you know what? Jesus took his soul to hell, preached to the people that were in prison, come back up, picked his body up, and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And in 10 days, if you'll go to Jerusalem and get up in that upper room, I'll bring every that bit of this. And I'm going to give it to you. Amen. You love the Lord? You got to. It's a perfect plan. It's perfect. There's no way. Man has messed with it for thousands of years. But it's perfect. And the perfection is here, not coming. Not a new message. This is it. But I'm telling you, you can sit and die in a message church too, just like they sit and die in a denominational church. You gotta know that you know that you know that when you come to church, that was one of the questions. How do you really know you got the new birth? How do you really know? Well, look at your life. Like Bob was talking about this morning. Look at your journey from A to today. Amen? Because maybe 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you're sitting in a bar on Sunday morning because you'd watch football all night. And you had to sober up. Hello? Let's get down on earth. Or you smoked a cigarette or you didn't even go to church. But look at you now. You're here with a desire. Not here just because the door's open and it's a nice warm place to be. We come here to hear from God. That's what my soul feeds on, is to hear from God. And we were talking last night, and I was the only truthful one in the whole building. I said, I have been to church and didn't get a revelation. And everybody's going, oh. But I was the only truthful one of the bunch. I have sat in church and not got a revelation. But I promise you there was something to build on. That a month later, you've done it. How many times have you heard Brother Dale say something over and over again and yet you just, I mean, you just brain dead right through it? Hello? And then all of a sudden though, what did the Holy Ghost tell you? He said, I'll bring things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen? That's his job. And if he does bring it back, that's the Holy Ghost. That's something you can put a stamp on. You can put a seal on. Satan will never do that. He can't even give you a revelation. He hates revelation. But we love it. So do you know you got the new birth? If God keeps revealing things to you and keeps revealing things to you, I'd say that's a pretty good showing that you got the new birth. Is that what responds inside of you? Not maybe immediately. So that's going to help some of you going to go, man, I thought I was the only one that didn't get anything out of that service. No, there's several times that you don't get anything. But, I'm telling you, God promised, how many times have you read scripture and swore they added that about 2 weeks later because you didn't read it the first time you read it? Hello? Well, it was still there. How many times have you read a message book and you read it, and I'm going to read this quote from the Masterpiece, 1964. The entire handiwork of God. We find in him the perfect reflection of the word, and you just read that book a week ago and you never read that. It got added afterwards. No, it wasn't your time to get it. You get it in your time. You don't get it in Brother Zach's time, your time. You get it in your time. Amen? But see, that's the way I know I got the new birth, is that continues on and on and on. Even though you have a dry day, listen, we've walked in the valley of the shadow of death. We walked in dark places and where it was just absolutely, like Brother Gary Atkins used to say, he said, man, he said, 3 months, and Lord, where you at? I ain't got anything in 3 months. You know, that's pretty dry. But God didn't say he was going to talk to you every day. He talks to you sometimes when you need it. That other guy talks to you all the time. All right? Amen? I don't know how I got off on that, but still, maybe it'll help somebody that's sitting there today going, I ain't getting a thing he's saying. Okay? Okay, so, if you don't, that's okay. But you know what? God will bring back to your remembrance. He'll give, another preacher will be preaching somewhere maybe 3 months from now. You'll hear somebody on the tape. You'll hear Brother Branham. And you'll go, that's what he was saying. Well, that's a revelation. Satan is not going to give you that. He's going to try everything in the world to keep you from watching that person online or listening to that tape. But if you connect with that, see, that's God. Connecting with God. That's the new birth. It's God connecting to God. Because what is the new birth? It's Jesus Christ inside of you in the office of the Holy Ghost. Not another person or a different person. All right? Well, I'm not going to get finished with this. All right, let's go to Isaiah 53 real quick. If I don't, we'll get this afternoon. I want to get to a part right here first. Isaiah 53, who hath believed thy report? How many of you are going to believe what the report is? What is your report? The report's what the Bible says. The report's what the preacher says if he preaches the right truth. Amen? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, or the power? There's power behind revelation. That's why Satan hates revelation more than anything. It's because you get power from revelation. I do. You should get power when you have an aha moment. Oh, that's what that meant. Well then, see, that stuck with you your entire life. If that's a revelation from God, it's a piece that fits somewhere in the statue of a perfect man. And if it fits right, the Bible says fitly joined together, that we grow up into God. If it fitly joined together, there's no cracks. Satan can't get in the crack. Because he's going to try. He's going to try to get in the crack. That's why you got to have the Holy Ghost first in your soul, as we were talking last night, that seals you until the day of your redemption. Then you've got growth development after that. Because you know what? Brother Brown talks about the boxcar. We didn't talk about this last night. But he's got the boxcar. You got product in the boxcar. You got a guy that packs it full. You got a guy that seals it. But it's got to get to its destination or the product is no good. So it's got a what? A journey. But it's sealed until the day that that gets to where it's supposed to go. So it's a journey. Your journey. And listen, if you haven't grown any this year, or even in the past year, let's just say a year, if you hadn't grown in a year, I'd seriously consider maybe trying to get the new birth. I just said we couldn't grow a lot, but I'm giving us a year, Brother Bob, 365 days now, so I'm kind of giving a little bit of grace for all of us. If you're not better off with God than you were a year ago, you got a problem. Let's just look at each other, look at yourself in the mirror and say, look, I got a problem. Maybe I ain't born again. Maybe I'm just struggling around here in sanctification, and that's okay, because the unclean spirit goes out. But there's a spirit going to come back in, I'll promise you, and fill you with something, because you didn't get it sealed. But you need to get, if you get it sealed, then it come what may. It can rain on that box car. It can get cold. It can get hot. But the product inside is going to stay there. Same way with me and you, all right? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. In other words, he's not a good looking guy. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Wouldn't you think? I mean, if God was coming down in human flesh, it'd be the best of the best. We would think. Caiaphas thought that way. Look at the Roman Catholic Church. They put everything they got in what? Beauty.
Yes.
Beauty. Beautiful this. Or even denominations, they'll say, boy, we built this great big beautiful church. And it's got USB ports in the back so we can plug our phones in. And we can set our coffee and they stay warm in this little warmer right behind the seat. And y'all would probably want warmers in the seat or air conditioners in the seat. So that's right, sister. I know you would. But it would be have to be controlled individually. Because some of you would turn it up and some of you would be this and you'd turn it down. And some of you would be going, hot in here. Yeah, so anyway, that's the convenience. But see, that's beauty. There was no beauty that we should desire him. There was no beauty in Jesus. There was a lot of times Jesus was walking around and people didn't even know who he was. Didn't even know who he was. Remember, the Bible says he disappeared in the crowd. Why? He just looked like the rest of them. Because even one time they said, isn't that Joseph's boy? Saw him in a carpenter shop. Isn't that Joseph's boy? No, that wasn't Joseph's boy. That was God's boy. Amen? He is despised and rejected of men. So now look, this is the characteristic of the Son of Man. In the end time, we're promised the manifestation of the Son of Man in the end time, which is God in human flesh. So if this is the way he acts, that's the way we're supposed to act. No different. He is despised and rejected of men, so don't worry. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Had a lot of friends leave us, haven't we, when we come into the message and come into the truth. And then as we get more truth, we have a lot of our friends that were in the message with us that don't even want to talk to us no more. Hello, somebody. Right? When Jesus went to the cross, when he manifested the Son of Man, he was by himself. No one was around him to help him. They ran. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. You know that even when he was hanging on the cross, Caiaphas and all them were looking at him and they said, oh, he says he can save the world and he came save himself. You know what they were saying? God, our Jehovah, has now passed judgment on this man that thought he was God. Look at him hanging there. That can't be God. Hanging on a cross naked, condemned to die, and hanging there under the cruelest punishment you could get. I'm sure they were like, you know, grabbed their coats, you know, and they're like, we won't ever see him again. God has passed judgment on this man because of what he did. He just ruined our denomination. He just ruined our thought process. Oh, little did they know. Little did they know that was God. But he was, and you know what? Caiaphas is going to see him again too. At the white throne judgment. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. You need healing today? Read that scripture for yourself. But he was wounded for weighed down his transgression. I almost, you get emotional when you read that. Because that's what God did. This is so simple salvation, but that's what God did for your whole journey. And remember, he had to come in human flesh because you can't whip the Son of God. Son of God can't die. We're going to read here in just a minute what the Son of God's going to do because he gave his soul a ransom. But he gave his body a sacrifice just like a lamb. He took the stripes on his literal body for me and you. That's the Lamb of God that John introduced that takes away the sin of the world. But remember, it wasn't the body, it's not the body that saves you. The body of Jesus don't save you. The body of Jesus didn't come back into you in the Holy Ghost. It was the soul of God. The Son of God. The Genesis 1:26 man that was before the foundation of the world God. Amen? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now did he not do that? He didn't have a lot of fun when he was on earth. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. We were talking about that last night. We're having some people having trouble around here with temperance and tempers and all that stuff. Heavenly days. But what about a man, though? Listen, what about a man? He was every whit man, right? He would stand before Caiaphas, or he would stand before Pilate. And Pilate says, you king? He said, to this end I was born. But see, Pilate realized that this one man was not going to hurt him. He had the power of Rome behind him. He had 10,000 soldiers. He had all the latest equipment. And here stood a man who didn't hardly have clothes on. It wasn't a threat to Pilate because Pilate, what Pilate say? He said, I don't see no fault in him. Let him go. If he's got a kingdom, he can't fight me. But that man, remember, he said, I could call how many legions of angels to make this all go away. You're talking about a statue of a perfect man. You're talking about not my will, but thy will be done. Try that sometime. Try that when some soldier is going to beat you half to death with a cat of nine tails and just drive. I'm talking about push in a crown of thorns in your head. They didn't just gently lay it on there and said, oh, you're the king. No, I'm sure they took that and probably took a piece of leather so they wouldn't get stuck themselves, and they pressed it down in Jesus' head, and you know what? Yet he opened not his mouth. He didn't revile back. That's what's supposed to be inside of you and me. He was oppressed, afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Didn't say a word. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? We've talked about this before. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Now here's Isaiah. Isaiah knows this man's got to be human flesh because Isaiah is the one in Isaiah 7 said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." So they knew, those Old Testament prophets knew that God was going to come in human flesh. It's just that the denominations of the day or the hierarchy of the day didn't believe it. So what they do, they killed the prophet. They shut the prophets up. Didn't what Jesus said? Jesus said, "You whited walls. You go out there and what were they doing? They were washing the tomb of Isaiah. Boy, we got this thing. It looks, we shine this baby up." Jesus said, "You the one that put him in there?
Right.
You put him in there. You the one that put their body in that grave and you're wiping it off because of your tradition." He was cut off of the land of the living. In other words, he didn't have any natural progeny. He didn't need a natural progeny. His progeny was spiritual. His genealogy and generation was spiritual. It was not natural. It was that Genesis 1:26 man that was made in his image. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Sounds like a pretty good statue of a perfect man guy. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Look, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. His soul. He shall what? See his seed. See his progeny. When he'll give his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days and the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Look, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. Jesus got an inheritance. Amen? Jesus got an inheritance. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong because he hath poured out his soul unto death, not in death. Unto death. He acted the part of death. The soul just came out of the body and where did it go? It went to hell and preached to the souls in prison. And the long suffering of the days of Noah, right? And you were in him when that happened. So you've already been to hell. You don't ever have to go again. Amen? That thrills my heart because you know what? If I identify myself with that man and he went there, I don't have to go. I don't have to stand judgment. He took my transgression. He made intercession for my transgression. Like we were talking about last night, the Holy Ghost is an advocate. You can't be an advocate for yourself. That's not allowed in a court. I mean, some people try to do that, but they can't. They bitterly fail. When you try to be your own lawyer. Yeah. Anyway. So you have an advocate though that stands up and said, "Hey, I'll take his sin. I'll take whatever it is that he has or she has, whatever it is, I'll take it." An advocate that stands in your place and says, "I'll take what this person has." He made intercession for the transgressors and that's me and you. You love the Lord? Now we know that the baby got here. We're going to skip through all that. The baby got here. He came exactly the way they said. Let's go to, if you would, go to quote number 2. God's gifts always find their places. And I'm going to back up those two scriptures. Remember, he fulfilled all the scriptures. He came as a baby. He came swaddling clothes. He came in a manger. He came in Bethlehem. Micah prophesied that he would come in Bethlehem. So he came exactly the way the Bible said he was going to come. And even when Herod heard about this, he inquires and says, "Where's this king supposed to be born?" So they knew the scrolls. He wasn't a heathen. He knew the scripture. And they told him, they said, "Oh, he's to be born in Bethlehem." Bethlehem. Well, if those two wise men saw that and it took them 2 years to get here, because remember, the wise men didn't see a baby. The wise men saw a child. Because the Bible says the young child was sitting in the mother's lap. Sitting. So he was older. Why did Herod say, "Okay, everybody from 2 years old and down, I'm going to kill them all"? So, because he was going to try to get Jesus and kill him in between those 2 years, right? So now watch here. What happens with the Magi? And watch these people, these Magi, they brought him, watch the gifts they brought him. identified what they thought he was. They brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now watch what these symbols that I want to talk to you about now is what these symbols mean. Now I've got some scripture wrote out here that we'll read just in a moment, Lord willing. Now, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now gold in the Bible, how fitting it fits to Christ. Because gold speaks of deity. Gold is deity. What did they do? Even if they made something out of brass, even if they made something out of wood in the Old Testament, they overlaid it with gold to make it deity or deify it. And if anybody's going to make a god, a little idol, what's usually it made out of? It's either got some gold in it or on it. Why? Because they signify that with deity. Well, you didn't have to put anything on Jesus. He was deity. Amen? He was gold. Gold is deity. We'll get to that in just a moment. Frankincense speaks of service, and myrrh is death. God, deity, and service to die. And that's what he was. The very thing that they brought identified what they thought he was. Now let's go number three. Now how fitting these things, it's a different quote, fitted exactly the commission from God and his journey on earth. Now watch this. Now the first thing, God. This was God. Jesus was God in the form of a man. That's hard for people to swallow that. Even today. That he was God. That's what he was. He wasn't nothing less than God. He was God manifested in flesh. He was the creator in his own creation. Now, he was the creator in his creation, by the creation, for the creation. He liked that so much, he said it again. He was the creator of his creation, by his creation, for his creation. All winds right back in God, the whole thing, don't you see? Fullness of God. He was the creator in so much that he was God. And he was a being on earth, a being of time. Which meant that he must have had a beginning. The body. Therefore, he created himself a body to live in. God himself created a body for himself. That by his creation, he might save the lost creation that he created. Everything's got to do with creation. And there was Jehovah lying there crying like a baby. Can you imagine it? The next quote, number four. God's wrapped gift. Number five. He was God and became man. Not rich man. Poor man. That's the super sign. That's number five. Watch this. Let's read the red down here. When that first little toothless mouth opened in that manger. On that first crib, first Christmas morning, in his little manger crib, the first little yell that went from his voice, that was God crying. How many of you can believe that? How many can you believe that that's what God did? The first little toothless mouth opened in the manger. The first little Christmas morning in his little manger crib, the first little yell that went forth, that was God crying, Jehovah crying, a man, come from God and was man, ever wit man. Came to the world with nothing but still man. What was he trying to do? What was he purposing? He cried like a baby in the manger. He played like a boy on the street. He toiled like a man, but yet he was Emmanuel. This is the super sign. God dwelling in the creation that he created, the super sign, it shall be a sign unto you. He was so poor when he came to the earth, he came through a barred womb. A barred womb of a woman and had to borrow a grave to be buried in. Remember Joseph of Arimathea, they had just dug the grave and nobody had been in it before. And that's where they put Jesus now. A virgin shall conceive without sexual interception. Jehovah barred the womb of Mary, a woman, to perform the duty that he'd given everlasting sign and was so poor on earth after 33 years and a half of ministry, he had to borrow a grave to be buried in. Can you imagine? Talk about immaculate conception. What meanest thou anyhow? All right, let's finish right here. Revelations 3:14. This is what I want to get to. Now, are we not in the Laodicean church age? I know we're called out of the age because we're bride, but we're living in the time of Laodicea. Boy, if you don't believe that, oh, Lordy, you're deceived. You're way past deceived, if there is a thing. Because every characteristic of this Laodicean age, we see it manifest today in the world and in people and everything. But now watch what he says, though. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Now, what's the angel of the church of Laodicea? We've heard his voice. Okay? These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, that's strange because how can God be created? And this says he's the beginning. Whatever this person is, it's the beginning of the creation of God. All right? Well, let's let the prophet tell us in the Laodicean church age. So let's go to the quote. The 14th verse. To the angel of the Lord of Laodicea write, these things which saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Oh my. We had all night on that right there, how the Lord would reveal that to us. Watch. The Amen is the last. He's appeared all the way down through in different things, but here's the last church age where it says, this is the finish, I am the last. Now to show that he was the first also, as he was, he's the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, do you catch it? How could God be created if he's a spirit? Son of God can't be created. It is the creator. That's the one we were talking about, the Logos. When we went way back before time, Brother Brown said that was the Son of God. That was the creator. That was God stepping over in another form so that we can understand who he is. All right? How could he be? He's eternal. He never was created. He never will be created. Because he was God at the beginning. But he that is the beginning of the creation of God was Jesus Christ when he was made manifest. A little toothless baby laying in the manger. When God lived in him, he is God's creation. Oh my, see, the first and the last, the Amen, the beginning of the creation of God. When God created himself a body, what I read in Hebrews 10:5, a body thou hast prepared me. Thou who? The prophets. God through the prophets. He created himself a body to live in. When God created himself a body, he came down and lived in it. That's the beginning of the creation of God. See, oh, isn't he wonderful? And now we read John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ was the way we were supposed to come had there not been a fall. Because as the fall happened, to restore what was fallen, it had to come the same way. Except for no sex. Because Isaiah said it wouldn't be by sex. It wouldn't be by instrumentation of man. It would be by God creating. That's what he was going to do to begin with. How many times do you hear that word create, 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 create? God's a creator. But he let us fall. Knowing we would fall, he let us fall in human flesh so that he can make himself human flesh. Because that's what he always wanted, was to be a God that we can handle. Shake hands with, touch, hug his neck. Even the disciples, after Jesus left, they said, we've touched the Word of God. Because they literally did, but they didn't understand who he was. They all, if they knew who he was, they wouldn't have run from him that night he got crucified. They didn't exactly know who the Son of Man was. They knew he was different. But see, you and I in the end time, we'll start this afternoon with this man as he walks through his journey. He is the Son of Man. And there's no one like him on the earth. The prophet of God, William Branham, was close enough as anybody could get, but he was not the Son of Man. Because, what did I say the other day? The characteristics of the Son of Man, is he's got to be virgin born. So that just discludes everybody since Abel and Cain till today. Only one person was born virgin born. And that was the Son of Man. The head of the church. We'll read a little bit later on. That's why he was made the head of the church. He's the head of the church. He got a body. A body thou hast prepared me. And now he's preparing a body. A bride. Through what? Through the word of God. By spoken word is the original seed. Not by anything that man's going to do. Man doesn't run this church. The Holy Ghost runs this church. The Son of God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what is he doing though? He's changing me and you as we go up that statue of perfect man, because look, here's the headship right here. What is that? That's, we'll see it this afternoon if we get to it. That was rejected. The headstone was rejected. Who is the headstone? Not the Son of God. The Son of God wasn't rejected through the church ages. That's what got him in the church age. But the Son of Man was rejected. They lost that stone, that revelation. But he said now that headstone has now become what? The chief cornerstone. A little bitty headstone right here. This whole foundation was on proving that when he got into this age right now, today, we'd know what we're talking about. Because they didn't down there. Because I'll read you in the Bible where the Bible says Zerubbabel is going to clean this thing off. Not make a new one. You can't make a new foundation because the foundation of the whole thing is built on the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ being the chief what? Cornerstone. So you can't do away with it. But what they done was is they rejected him. All through the church ages, they rejected him. But today is the day that we don't reject him no more. Today is the day of our salvation, not just for our soul, but for our spirit and our body, that we can live so close to God that we'll raise the dead and get out of here. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians, come. I know sometimes it's tough to follow, but that's what our requirement is, folks, in this end time, is to be the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, in bride form on this earth, doing the same thing he did. And you can't do it with false word. You got to do it. Listen, there wasn't one moment in the Son of Man's life that he was wrong. Now, he might have made human mistakes. He probably dropped a fork somewhere. He stumbled over a rock on the ground. He got scuffed up. He was a man. But when he stood up and said, I and my Father are one, he meant what he said. When he said all these things he said, because, you know, then you go, well, I ain't perfect and you ain't perfect. I've heard that junk all my life. And it's junk. The Bible says, be ye therefore perfect. Amen. And we'll read it this afternoon. Jesus even had to be made perfect because it says, being made perfect became the author of our salvation. Now, that wasn't talking about his soul. That wasn't talking about his soul. That was talking about his humanity. That he yielded to the Father and made that thing live. So, where's that man now, Brother Darty? Is he gone somewhere off and there's no access to him? See, that's what the world has said. That's why they put the Son of Man out. They said, we can't live that. I ain't God and you ain't God. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, Father, I pray that they be one as you and I are one. Now, how was the Father and Jesus one? They were one. So he's praying that we be the same. We just got to believe that there stands that man that can do it. Our advocate, our high priest, our healer, our redeemer, our savior. Don't ever forget what God did for you. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. If you have a need. For letting me hear your word. Have I done? What have we done to deserve this? Be happy that you know this. Be happy the word's been made available to you. Now what are you going to do about it? You going to throw it away and walk out into the world? What are they going to give you? That's just more trouble, more heartache. But come into this, and He'll give you peace. He'll give you joy. He promised it. Thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word.
What have I done to deserve such glory revealed to me? Thanks for that special night when I saw your glorious light.
That our brother will continue to look to you, Lord. The author and finisher of our faith, Lord. The one that gives us this flesh that we're living in now, Lord. I pray that you sanctify him, Lord, and bless him in Jesus' name.
Then I heard Amen. Recognizing your day.
Rachel.
Oh, serpent seed and perfect faith. The breach and the message of
yes,
grace.
Ma'am.
Oh, Lord, I thank
tell you. Just let them tell you.
Not even in my wildest dreams did I think I'd see such things as the coming of the Lord.
You love
the
Lord?
Rapture.
Amen.
Mystery.
He's good, isn't he?
I have heard, but now I see.
Simplicity.
The spoken word is the original seed. Lord,
let's sing it to him. Thank him one time right here.
Thee.
I thank you, Lord. Whatever you got inside of you, let it out. If you got the new birth, you got the Creator inside of you. Let Him out. Let Him do His work. He's bound by our tradition. I said ours. Our tradition, our individual tradition, ever what you want to make that be, our unbelief. That's what God's bound. He's bound by that. And we're trying by the Word of God to get you just to see who you are. I want you to see who you are. I can tell you who you are. People have been telling them who they are for centuries. We're the bride. 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 Brother Brown said there's been brides, brides, churches, brides, churches. He said, but there's going to come one. And I just believe I'm part of that one. The one that's going to see the manifestation of the Son of Man. Where when we speak, things will happen. Listen, have not you been bound and oppressed long enough? Haven't we went around and around horrible long enough? 40 years? And the promised land's only 3 days' journey? 40 years! They wore themselves out! All because they sinned and didn't believe what the prophet of the day said. That sound familiar? Prophet Moses. They didn't believe what he said, so God said, oh, you're not going in. You're going to go around and around until the unbelievers get kicked out. But I'm going to raise up a group. I'm going to raise up a group that's going to believe what I said. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, if we've said anything, Lord, against you. Father, we're just trying to get the people to see who they are, Lord. Not who they're going to be, but who you've already said they were, Lord. And you saw a group of people make it, Lord. And you sent a prophet. You sent the Holy Ghost. You sent us everything we need, Lord. Now, what are we going to do with it? Father, I pray that we'll take that sword of faith and that we'll, Lord, leave this building, Lord, better people. That you'll be with us, Lord, and take care of us until we come back and further them in the service. Bless our pastor, Lord, and keep him strong. Keep him healthy, Lord. Be with each one. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.